Blog Talk Radio.
Have you always known that a reality greater than this should exist? Is now the time for you to step up and be the change you require in your life? What if that quiet whisper calling from the deep depths of you is the whisper of change? The whisper of what is truly possible. Would you be willing to start listening? Would you be willing to choose the true you? It's just a choice. Welcome to the What If Show, where possibility meets reality.
Hi, good evening, hello from a very warm, much warmer than Stockholm, Doha, where I'm dialing into the 10 days of. You can see I've been working a lot, right? Sleeping a little, working a lot. So, yes, it is now on the hour time for the What If Show. And today's guest is Teresa. So Teresa, I've actually met at the 7-day that I attended now recently. So I'm being incredibly me, it would seem like, because after spending 4 days with, I suppose, anybody choosing change, nothing seems to be the same or constant or even definable. So I'm just waiting a moment still for Teresa to dial in. It did show her article earlier, but let's see, you know, what else is possible. So if you give me a moment, I'll be with you shortly.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
There we go. And there's Dr. Dane. So interesting. I am sure I had her on the line now just a couple of seconds ago, and it seems like her call has dropped. So let's just give a moment still and see, you know, what else is possible. I do have to say, however, that I'm absolutely adoring the fact that, you know, we can actually meet from all across the world onto a platform, and we can actually step into a space of change and choice and more possibility. And a word from the 7-day is inconceivable. And that word, together with what I like to call, well, it is a word out there in the world called undefinable. Those two have been such a phenomenal gift for me over the last couple of months, and even more so the last couple of days. And it has been such a pleasure being with so many different people from around the world that says, you know what, now is the time for us to create something different. So let me just see. Hi, Teresa, are you there? Hello. Okay. So I can definitely see someone, but I'm not sure if it's her. Okay, let me just have a look and see if we can hear each other. Let's see. Can't hear you. So what if there doesn't have to be any hiccups with technology? And there's another, hold on, maybe we've got two people on the line. Hello.
Hi, do you hear me now?
I can. How are you?
Oh, finally, I'm good. Now I'm good. Awesome. How does it get better than this?
You know, how does it? I was just telling the people listening, you know, it's so, what I love is the fact that I can be not even my own country at the moment, and I can still dial in and have you live on a show and create change. You know, how phenomenal is that?
I know, right? It's awesome. I love it. And especially when the technology decides to work.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm kind of playing in that space of, we kind of just have to have the thoughts of it, and it's there working as we would like it. Yeah? Just plug and play. So much easier.
Right. Right.
So totally. I had a moment before I actually got onto the airplane this morning, or just my body all tingly, and I'm looking forward to our topic this evening, the magic of animals. So before we get started with that, I'm just wondering if you'd like to tell the listeners that might not have met you before or heard of you before a little bit more about who you are and what it is that you do.
Yeah, I'd love to. Well, I'm Teresa, and I'm living in Sweden for the moment. Well, I'm calling you from Sweden, and you're like somewhere in South Africa, right? Oh, awesome. And yeah, what can I tell? Well, I'm an Access Consciousness certified facilitator, and I get weird noises on my line. Is it okay on your line?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
It is.
Awesome. So yeah, so I'm an Access Consciousness certified facilitator, and I'm also a licensed veterinarian. So I've worked with animals for a lot of years. And I'm training dogs, and I'm riding horses, and now I have this Access Consciousness specialty class called The Magic of Animals, where we play with the access tools to not only communicate and play with the animals in assisting them, but also allowing them to contribute to us and open up for new spaces and awarenesses of what we can be in the world differently and what we can create in the world that is actually a different reality for all of us, that works for all of us, the people, the animals, and the planet. So I'm super excited about that class.
Wow, awesome. You know, this is a topic that I've not really explored with. I'm lucky enough to have a couple of animals in my life, and one in particular that, you know, is such a gift to me. And I'm looking forward to, you know, exploring this topic with you, and because somehow I get the awareness that so many people, all of us, have a capacity of communing, I don't know if that is a word even, with animals that could create such a dynamic change, not in our lives, but as you mentioned, on this planet.
Yeah, right. And the thing I love about the animals and allowing them to show us is that they don't like separate from anything. They are in total communion with each other. They're in total communion with all people, regardless of whether the people are receiving them or not. They're still in communion with us and the planet, like at all times. They don't cut off any part of their awareness like we tend to do. So, yeah, that's like such an invitation and a gift to be able to explore in that reality and see what can show up and how they respond to what we're creating and what we're changing so fast. It's amazing to me. And imagine if we, the people, would be as fast as the animals in implementing and choosing and being aware.
To start off with, maybe just to give you, you know, a little bit of a background on me and my dog. His name is Spookles, which is a name I would never have chosen for him. So, but I was given him. You know, what is so interesting is a long time ago I heard in Access Gary Douglas, the founder, saying that give everything around you a job. So for a long time, Spookles was my you know, babes, your job is to get me traveling. And he does that. You know.
I know, right?
And
how
we have
a... that.
And if I have to take the significance of the word purpose, well, what is the purpose of animals in our lives if it's not, you know, an animal outside in the wild, domesticated animals?
Sorry, Charlinda, you're breaking up a little bit on me here. Did you say what is the purpose of animals in the world?
Yes, if it's something more about domesticated animals.
Domesticated animals.
Yes.
Well, what I find when I work with animals in these classes as well is that, well, in the classes we look at both wild and domestic animals, but if you look at just the domestic animals that I work with in sessions or whatever, I find that they're pretty open. They will take on any job that their human gives them, whether that is a conscious given job, which is not the case a lot of the times, but in like in your case where you're like, hey, your job is to like get me traveling. that's what I find, that they're really like, how do I say that? Like they don't really have that many points of view about what jobs they give them. But what I do find is that they're extremely loyal or in allowance of their humans. So they don't have a point of view whether their job is to heal. They will heal to the point where maybe their own body gets diseased or sick or get an illness to fulfill that part of their job for their human. But I get that they're really asking us to step into a different reality. If you're asking more like in bigger scale, like beyond the one animal with their one human, I get that all the animals are actually asking us to step into a different reality and a different possibility of how we be in the world. Like we talked a little bit about in the beginning with where everything is in communion and where we finally get that our choices is not our choice. It's also something that affects the whole world around us. Like the butterfly effect, or, you know, that thing where if a butterfly flaps its wings in China, there's a ripple effect that, like, creates some events in the U.S. or wherever.
Mm.
So I guess that the animals are really, like, inviting us to step into a different reality where that's more a part of our awareness, that we get aware that all our choices actually make a change in the world.
Okay. So I'm curious, how is it that you foster Banshan in terms of creating that with your animals? You know, what tools would you tell other people they can use? Choose more.
Right. There's a lot of tools. Well, in Access, we talk a lot about functioning as an infinite being, which I think is the beginning of opening up a different reality and functioning more like in communion with the animals and the planet. So perceiving, knowing, being, and receiving are the elements of functioning like an infinite being. And so really pragmatic, practical tools that you could play with animals is ask them to show you. I've been asking the animals around me for a long time to show me, for instance, what is receiving, and then they will show me an energy, and then the next time I ask, they will show me a different energy, because really we're not learn what receiving is or what is perceiving or even what is gifting. If you look at a dog, for instance, and you know that the dog is gifting you so much just by being in the room, or even when you're cuddling a dog or like stroking them or whatever, they are gifting you even though you're the one. So they kind of take it out of this linear who's gifting, who's receiving, and they will show you all that stuff energetically if you ask them. So I ask animals to show me a lot of stuff. And I also ask them what else I could be asking for that they could contribute, both in awareness and choices. So I can ask my dog or the horses that I ride, what choice could I be making that would open up a different possibility? Could you assist me in being more aware than I've ever imagined possible? And they will do that in various ways. Am I still on? Are you there, Shalinda? Hello?
Hi, this is Sarah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I called in to listen to the show, and I just want to say it's fabulous. We can still hear you.
Oh, awesome. But can you hear Shalinda? I can't hear Shalinda.
No, I can't hear her either right now. But I wanted to let you know that you can.
Okay, keep you can hear me.
Talking.
Okay, so then
yeah.
I will keep talking.
Really
great. Okay, awesome. Yeah, so the question was what practical tools to start to open up that with the animals. So asking them to show you, that's a good one too. Like you can ask the animals how they perceive the world or how they perceive reality. And the first time I did that, I was in the forest, and I was aware that my dog was aware of something that I was not aware of. And I was curious about what that was, so I was asking my dog or asking myself, I'm not really sure who I'm asking at that point, but I would ask, how do you perceive reality or how do you perceive the world around us? And then my perspective totally shifted where I could be aware of energies in a whole different way that I had never been able to be aware of before, and I could smell things that I wasn't supposed to smell. Like I could smell other animals in the forest, even though I couldn't see them. So asking, you can pretty much ask them anything and then just notice what happens, and they will be so willing to contribute more awareness and more, more perceiving, more being, and more receiving. If you ask. So that's some of the tools to get started. But what I really love to do with the animals too is to ask them questions that will actually generate and create something that is not here yet. So I will ask generative and creative questions. For instance, what can I be aware of that would create something different? What could I be aware of that would allow me to create a different reality? Things like
okay.
That.
Well,
oh,
so
are you back?
I am. Thank you so much for continuing. It seems like I was just wondering about the animals and how much they want to be heard today.
Oh, yeah, they're on the line for sure. They're like, we're here.
So one of the questions now, as you were talking, right, that's come to my mind is we were in the same class together now the last couple of days, and one of the words that came up was inconceivable.
Yeah.
And in creating something that doesn't exist in this world, and for people that maybe are new to Access Consciousness and don't necessarily know about the tools, right, could you maybe talk about when you not necessarily expecting an answer in a specific way.
Right. Yeah, and that's one of the roadblocks that a lot of the people that I work with come to, where they have this idea or preconceived notion of what communicating with animals should look like. Like they would expect to hear a voice in their head or get like really clear images. So what I like to invite people to is when you ask a question to an animal, and like their reality is so much bigger than the words we have in our language. Like there are the words for the energies that they will show you haven't been like made up yet. So if you try to go to find the words that match the energy that they show you when you ask, you're really going to limit the information that they're giving you. So what I usually say is, what if you would just ask the question and then notice the energy? And you might have like some experience, past experiences or words that match that energy, but it's probably so much beyond that, like you said, inconceivable, because they don't have words. It's not this reality yet, but there's still an energy, and it can be very intense energy as well. It doesn't, sometimes it's just like a whisper or a, something you can perceive very like subtle. But sometimes it can be like this immensely intense energy that still doesn't have any words and that is still way beyond what you've ever encountered in this reality or seen in this reality. And what I like to do with that is to just be with that, and instead of trying to go to define it to fit into the language that I have available to me, I will allow it to be the energy and then just continue to ask the question, what can I do with this? Can I make, what choices can I make to make this a reality in the world, if that's an energy that seems very like matches the energy of communion with the animals and with nature and with the planet, and that would generate and create a future that hasn't existed here before. I would just allow it to be that energy, and that way bigger than language, and then ask what I can choose to create or institute that would allow that to come to actualization or to come into reality, basically, which was pretty much how the class The Magic of Animals came to be. Because that was like an energy that I did not have words for, and I would sit with it for the longest time, and I would wonder, like, okay, I get all these energy, most of it doesn't have words, like there's no words to describe it, and I get that it really wanted to get out into the world. The animals were getting very, like, loud and clear with me, so I got that they, like, wanted me to bring it forth into the world, but I was stuck for so long, and like, yeah, but how do I explain this to people when there's no like words for it? So then I just kept on with the question, okay, what can I choose, what can I create, what can I institute that would actually lead towards this energy that I'm aware of that the animals are showing you? So that would be a pragmatic way of doing it.
Awesome.
Did that explain it?
It does. And you know what is so nice for me in what you've explained right now is, if we have to look at how animals are in nature, it's so perceivable that there's no separation between them and nature.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's so interesting. So I'm hoping that you can talk more about, you know, how that can be a contribution for us in creating no separation.
Right, and I think one of the things that allows that, first and foremost, they don't have judgments in the world, so they don't judge anything as good or bad. Like when a lion eats a deer, it's not a bad thing. It doesn't do anything bad. It's not judged. And the same with if an animal helps another animal, that's not perceived as like a good thing either. So they don't have this polarity, which helps immensely in allowing all awareness to be, and also they depend on their awareness to survive. And what if that's also actually true for people, but we have never learned how to be or do that? So what if we would have to rely on our awareness to survive as much as the animals? Then our education would be very different, right? And that's the education that animals get from the time that they are born until they grow up and start to thrive and survive in the world on their own, like by themselves, is that they learn how to really like trust and be with their awareness and how to interact with what they're aware of around them to make it work. And also they have this, for instance, you probably heard this thing about if it's going to be a year of not
a lot of food, the rabbits, for instance, will stop breeding, or they will not have as many babies because there's mm-hmm. not going to be enough food to sustain a big population. So they're willing to be aware of the future in a different way and see what... It's not like they do this cognitively. It's not that like they achieve to the future and be like,
yeah.
okay, next year is going to be a bad year, so I'm not going to have babies this year. It's yeah. more like just this being with nature. And that's actually a lot of how I perceive knowing in the four elements of being or functioning as an infinite being, the perceiving, knowing, being, and receiving. So the knowing is more like this, even before it gets cognitive, when you just know, so you don't even have to like think about what it is that you know, you just know. And my perception of the animal world is that that's what's going on when they are so aware of what is going to work for all of them. Like the wolves, for instance, they're not gonna feed on one species of animals to extinction. They're gonna like there's a balance where they will prey on what they need to survive, and then that sustains a sustainable and healthy population of the other animals. Now we've fucked that up a little bit with the domestic animals. That's not as clear and visible with the domestic animals as it is with the wild animals, like how they interact with nature. But they still have this, like, I have so many examples with my dog, because I like to go walking with her in the forest, and she will just know things, and the more I'm asking her to assist me to become more aware, she will show me these small cool things. So I was living very close to the forest a while back, and we were going on a walk, and I never put a leash on her there because it was basically just me and the forest and my dog. So I never used to walk her on the leash, but that particular time she was like wanting to be on the leash. And I was like, okay, I'll put you on the leash. And she was like a little anxious inside before we went for our walk and stuff. And so we went for a walk. I had her on my leash, and then there comes a car with a couple of older men in the car, and they stopped, and they were like, hey, have you seen the wolf yet? And that's an area where I live where wolf is not a common occurrence. Like, they're very, very, very rare. They occasionally stray through the area, but that's not, like, a common thing to see. So I was like, oh, and then when I got aware of that there was a wolf in the area, then my dog was totally happy to get off the leash. But she just needed me to have that awareness for us to be, like, aware for each other, mm-hmm. which I think is a cool example of how animals have each other's backs as well. Like, in a pack, they will have different tasks and they will rely on each other to be totally aware to sustain each other. So what if people would have that as well? What if we were willing to be totally aware for each other to make sure that all of us were getting what we require and making choices that would work for the whole world or the whole group of people? What would that change?
Oh, wow. Yeah. How phenomenal would that be?
How phenomenal okay. would that be? And yeah.
Awesome.
Yes. So, yeah, I would really love for, like, what if communion with the earth, like the animals have it, was as natural for us people as it is for the animals. Like, yeah, we wouldn't be able to have the destruction of the planet and the wars going on everywhere that is also, like, basically just creating havoc. That would be, like, totally invaluable and non-productive, right?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So it would create a different reality.
I was also wondering about the projections that people have. I would like to as well, on whether it's a domesticated animal or a wild animal. But if you look mm-hmm. at projections that people have on their animals, well, you are this type of dog, so this is the way you should be, or...
Yeah. Yeah. animals are really good at delivering. Oh, you broke up again. I didn't hear the last part.
No, I was just asking about projections and what that creates.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, because they don't have a point of view, they just deliver what is projected at them the most of the time, is what I find. That if you project at a dog, for instance, that it's a mean dog, it's going to be a mean dog. Because you started with, in the beginning, you talked about like giving animals a job. So mm-hmm. the projections is kind of like the jobs we give them. So if you project at a dog that it's mean, that becomes kind of like their job to be that. Because they don't have a judgment or a point of view about, like, can you imagine how many, like, dogs or animals in general are functioning telepathically, right? When they communicate with each other, it's all telepathic and with energy. And so they pick up our thoughts as if we're speaking to them out loud. That's how they know what we're thinking, what's going on, what we're going to do, and all that stuff. So can you imagine how many thoughts go through a human's head during a day? And then a dog, for instance, picks all those thoughts up, and they don't know which thoughts are relevant and which thoughts are not relevant, because we don't think that at them. So they just take all of those thoughts and kind of use it to create the reality that they show us, or like their bodies or their behavior or how they function. So it's something to be aware of when you're around animals, like how many thoughts do you have going through your, like I noticed with my own animal, I was thinking about traveling somewhere or something, and she got really stressed, and I didn't realize that I was thinking about future, but she didn't know that it was future. She thought that was something that was going to go on like right now, that I was going away somewhere. And she got really stressed out, and I had to be like, oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking about like in a while. It's not now. You know, you have to like be clear with them, because they will just pick up all the thoughts. So even if it's not projected directly at them, there's still like thoughts that they can pick up. So yeah, but the cool thing and what I love about Access is that there are so many pragmatic tools to change that real easily. So, for instance, with projections on animals, a really nice tool, and often the first tool I start with when I work with any animal, is just to ask them to destroy and uncreate all the projections, expectations, separations, judgments, and rejections that they have picked up on. And that will change a lot for a lot of animals, just that one clearing.
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned something very interesting now about time and your dog. So what is that? You know, do they don't perceive time the same way that we do? Do they?
No. My awareness is that they don't. Well, it would be weird if they did, because we know that time is a construct that we've bought into. So it's more like they perceive time in the way that they perceive other things that is kind of human reality, quote unquote. Like they adapt to our concept of time more because that's what they need to do to survive, or like that's how they have to function to be able to live in our world. But they don't have that concept of time that we have.
So would the stress be perceiving or your energy?
Sorry, what was the question?
So the question is, I think I've heard this in the class as well, over the last while, is that an owner leaves the dog at the store and goes into the store, and the dog kind of thinks that the owner is gone forever because they don't perceive time. But is it merely because it's just a change in the energy that they perceive?
I'm not sure exactly how they perceive time, because I have actually been asking different animals of how they perceive time, and I don't really get a clear, like, I get more like a big question mark. So I'm not really sure how they perceive time. I don't even know if they have that concept of time. What I do know is that if the owner thinks that they're going to leave the dog outside, that's what the dog picks up. But you can also let the animal know that I'll be right back, or I'm just getting food for us and then I'm coming back out. And that will, like, make it easier on them. Like, my dog is a funny example, actually, because I had my dog since she was a puppy until 3 years ago, and then I sold her because I started traveling a lot, and she was not happy with doing nothing and, like, being left alone or in a pension for a long time. So I asked her, and she was like, yeah, fine. She could find a new person to play with, and I sold her. And then the person who had her, she, after a while, she had to bring her with her to do different horse and dog classes and stuff. So my dog would spend a lot of the time in the car or, like, traveling with her in the car. And she started to freak out in the car, so she actually... it was funny. She started to ping me, like, energetically on my awareness Christmas last year. And I perceived her, and I thought, because she's getting a little older, so I was like, all right, what's going on? Are you getting sick? Are you ready to leave or die, or what's going on? And I just got that she wanted to come back. And it was a really bad time for me, but I remember I just told her in my head, I was telling her that I can't, like, just take you back because I've sold you to this lady. So if you really want to come back, you have to make her give you back to me. And then I didn't think anything more of it. And then 2 months later, this lady who had my dog, she messaged me and said that my dog had gone totally crazy and couldn't be left in the car anymore. So if I couldn't take her back, she had to put her to sleep. So I was like, okay, that was a nice creation.
Yeah.
And then I started to look at it. I was like, oh, I didn't really think that through when I said that to my dog. But now I have her back, and it's awesome. But so when I got her, she was not happy. Like, when I got her back, she was totally not happy to be left in the car. Like, if I had to go to the store or something. So, or left alone at home for that matter. So what I started doing with her was that I would give her, like, the information about what I was doing and like, when I would come back, not, like, the time aspect, but more, like, give her the energetic download of what I was doing and that I was coming back. And also just, like, really being aware of her the whole time and allowing her to contribute to me and for me to contribute to her while I was away, like, not setting up the barriers or excluding her from my universe, even though I wasn't physically with her. And now I can leave her at home. I can leave her in the car. She's, like, totally calm. So that changed a lot for her.
Oh, that is actually, that's so great. You know, what I'm loving about our conversation is that there are so many different practical, you know, tools that I hear in your conversations that people can actually apply to their lives and living. So what we've also noted in the little description that we had of this show, the question you asked was, "What have you ever looked at an animal and envied their ease of life, the joy they have with their bodies?" And
yes,
that's something I'd like to explore as well. You know, what contribution, what is that joy that they have with their bodies, and how do we have more of that?
Right. Well, yeah, and you can ask them to show you that too, though. That's something that I do a lot. And also, they have this, like, they're so present in the moment. They never worry about, like, either past or future. They're just like, oh, now we're here. What can we do? Where can I play? How much fun can I have? And, oh, this grass is yummy. I think I'll roll around, or I think I have to run because, like, I have so much energy. And they can draw in the energy from all around them as well. So what if we start to ask them what invitation they could be to the joy of having a body and to the joy of having a body on this planet, like, all around? Because what I've also really looked at with animals, because I used to not be a people person at all. So I looked at, yeah, I was really, like, I was an animal person first and foremost, and then people were, like, not really my thing for a while. It's not that I couldn't, like, be with people. I just, like, enjoyed animals more. So what I started to do with that, I was looking at animals, and I realized, like, they have total ease whether there's people around or not, or, like, who's around them. They don't really turn down their joy or turn down their playfulness or their happy, regardless of what's going on around them. So I started to look at that and actually ask them a lot of questions and ask them to show me what it is that they function from that allows that. Like, what is it that they're aware of? Where do they get the energy from? What does their bodies feel like? How do they create their bodies? Like all those elements of, and since I'm working as a veterinarian, I also ask them questions like how they heal, because they're able to shift and change disease so fast, like way faster than any people I've met. Like they can make cancer disappear in a week, or like a ruptured ligament can be disappeared in a few days. And I've been like, that's not supposed to happen, and yet they create it. So I've been looking at and asking them, what do they know about creating their body and healing and changing their body as well? And just tapping into that space of having total ease with what your body shows up like, and having total choice with that is a cool, like, thing to play with.
It's so interesting that you mentioned that, because in my house there's a little gate that goes to the outside, but the slits are very narrow. And I mean, if you have to see my dogs, you cannot think that they actually fit through those bars, right? And they do.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, I went, oh, that's quite interesting. It's because in my mind, I'm wondering whether they're actually morphing their cells and changing it so they can fit through, go out and go bark if they want to go bark, and then come back. And it was only when someone came to visit and they saw that and they said, oh, that can't happen, it's going to cause damage, that I went, holy cow, what's that creating in their walls, right? I mean,
And yet,
you know, it's leaving the question for the dog, well, if that's really something that you think could limit you, then maybe you can have it or not. And that to me is so wonderful to actually witness.
Right. And how awesome that you can see that and recognize that. Because one of the things I love about this whole, like, consciousness and awareness and being in perceiving is that, you know, Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, says, if you can perceive it, you can be it. Or you all, actually, he says, if you can perceive it, you already be it. So how awesome is that, that if you see something that you admire in an animal, or if you see a capacity like that, like being able to morph your body to have it work for you, that if you can perceive that, you already are that. It's just, then it's just a choice to step into to developing that capacity more and more dynamically. So how many things could you be aware of that you admire in animals and nature that you would allow yourself to know that since you can perceive it, you actually be it already, and acknowledge that about yourself.
Teresa, that's awesome, because I'm looking at the magic of animals. I'm going, you know, I love the way that you set that question out, because how willing are we to perceive magic? And, you know, what if, because I've seen a lot of people in their minds will go, yes, create magic, but then it's something from my imagination, instead of going, well, there's something between imagination and not existing or not acknowledging the capacity that it is.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. What if you don't make anything up? What if everything is a possibility you're aware of, even though it sounds crazy? Or I know I've thought to myself a lot of the times when I get aware of something that I'm like, okay, now I'm tripping, or now I'm like going overboard, or I'm trying to fantasize it, you know. but then if or when I choose to be like, okay, let's say I'm not. What if I'm not, and start to actually explore it and to ask more questions about it, and then it shows up, kind of to like a, it's a confirmation of what I have chosen. So what if like the craziest things you can perceive and observe or like admire or come up with, what if all of it is possible? What if it's all possibilities that are waiting to be created if you choose them? And what inspiration can the animals and nature be to you? To like, because one of the biggest challenges I find is that, as you've, and probably, like, after taking a lot of access consciousness classes, you start to not have that many problems anymore, right?
That's a bad thing.
It's horrible. Yeah, it's horrible. but then what I also noticed was that, like, okay, when the problems disappear, or you know that it's not really problems, then comes the like, okay, so now what? What would I like to create? What would I like to have as my reality? What would I like to create in the world? And those like generative, creative things that you would like start to look at instead. And one of my challenges, I know, has been to actually come up with stuff. Like, what is it? what is it that inspires me? What is it that is, like, something that I would like to create? And that's one of the areas where I love to look at nature and animals to actually gain the inspiration and the ideas and sometimes, like, crazy notions, but perceiving energies that aren't supposed to be a possibility or that haven't been in the world before, and then start to create from that. So then I don't have to go back and recreate the problems to have something to do with my time.
Oh, that's great stuff. Yeah, because I mean, it's also like, you know, what points of views are people running their lives from or off?
I know, right?
That
I
is know. Also, you know, creating less.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I wonder. And I have to say, like, most of the time when working with animals as well, it has been really interesting, because mostly what people are interesting when they begin to explore a different possibility with animals is to solve the problems. Like a behavior problem, or the animal has a disease or whatever, like it starts with a problem that they would like to help their animals with, because in that way I think people are really cool, because they're really willing to like assist and help their animals. That's like number one on a lot of people's priority list, even over themselves. So, and that is awesome. And also, what if like all the problems are actually a capacity or a talent or an ability in hiding? So what if we turn all our problems around 180 degrees and started to look for the capacity, talent, or ability that is hiding behind whatever we call a problem, whether it's with the animals or with ourselves or in our lives?
Okay. So could you maybe give people that might be new to this an example of that? Because I'm going to be honest, for a long time I've heard, you know, in access, what if your wrongness was actually a strongness? And it just did not make any sense to me at all.
Right.
So, in case I'm not the only one.
Yeah, well, I think probably not. And yeah, so for instance, let's see. Yeah, so with a lot of animals, let's take just a disease, for instance. So say an animal comes with a disease of some kind. It can be an allergy or any kind of disease. And then instead of looking at what can we do to get rid of the disease, I always look at what's right about this. Like, what is there a talent, capacity, or ability here? Or like, what's on the flip side, like you said, like the rightness and the wrongness. And what often shows up is that the diseases are either like an immense capacity that the animals have for healing, either their people or the earth or other animals that haven't been acknowledged. And then as soon as we acknowledge it and be like, oh, wow, you're healing that person, or you're like pulling disease out of your owner or whatever it is, as soon as you acknowledge it, the symptoms disappear. Because then it's not made a problem anymore. Because it also like goes back to the projections, like your point of view creates your reality. So if you look at the symptoms and you see a disease and be like, oh my God, we need to get rid of this disease, but the animal isn't willing to give up the job because they're doing an awesome job being a phenomenal healer, for instance.
Yes.
So they're not willing to give that up, but because we're looking at it, defining it as a disease in their bodies, that's what they create. So as soon as we acknowledge, like, wow, you're healing, wow, that's so cool, I'm so grateful, instead of trying to take that away from them, be like, wow, thank you, how awesome are you? Then they'll be like, oh, phew, and then they don't have to, like, create these symptoms in their body. Or they can be showing such stuff about the owner, like trying to get their owners to acknowledge a capacity that they have.
For instance,
that, like, was that a little more, I don't know if that was a good example, but that was the one I came up with.
Yeah. It was a great example, and it also illustrates that from what I'm perceiving is that there's no limitation or no limits that animals place on themselves for what it is that they do and contribute in this world. Whether it's healing, there's no limit. I'm this type of, I'll only do this or I only do that. It's just, they show up.
Right. Yeah. They don't have limits. No, they totally don't have limitation, which is also why you can ask your, like you're asking your dog to contribute to you traveling. How, like, out of this reality is that? And, yeah, you can ask them to assist you with anything.
Yeah.
And they don't stop. They can do more things at once than we can ever imagine. Because they work energetically. So, and they don't have, like, it's not hard for them. That's also what I love. Like, we people, we tend to think that, like, if we have to do, like, 10 things simultaneously, that we're going to be, like, exhausted or tired. And then you look to the animals, and they are creating, like, they're creating and generating for the earth. They're, like, contributing to every plant and every tree that they pass. They are contributing to their owner. They're present with what's going on around them. They're healing. They're doing this. They're doing that. And creating whatever jobs they have been given all simultaneously. And they are super happy and enjoying their bodies at the same time. So what if, like, whatever limitations we put on ourselves about what's tiring or what's exhausting or how much we can do is a total lie? What if it's just we could add more and it could all contribute to the different energies of what we're doing?
Yeah, even more. Even more. The one capacity that I'm seeing my dog is tapping into at the moment and going, would you like to play with it? when class ended, I'm not sure, a day or two ago, and in the middle of Stockholm, right by the water, it's not even a park area, it's like in the city center, I looked down and there was and I went, oh, okay. So you just created me to bring you a toy. which I picked up and it's now in my bag.
Right.
So
how cool is
I
that?
Was going, you know what? I would so play with that capacity. And I'm curious to see, you know, what truly is possible for us to play even more. So, wow.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And like, yeah, it's just, like I said, my biggest challenge is to come up with stuff to ask for, like to ask for contribution from the animals for. So, yeah, really, it's just the imagination being the limitation. What could we ask for?
Lisa, this hour has gone by so quickly, and I still have so many different questions. So, you know, what else can we play with to, you know, bring bring more of this awareness to people. But before we have to say goodbye, I'd love for you to just tell people how they can get hold of you. And I know you said that you've got the Magic of Animals class. When is it? And how do people connect with you?
Right. There's a Magic of Animals class coming up in Amsterdam in 2.5 weeks, actually. It's the weekend of the 20th of November, Friday evening, Saturday, Sunday. And they can, all my classes and stuff are on my website, and they can also book sessions there if they want to know more about this stuff. And my website is teriasestoa.com. It's my name spelled out. It's a very un-English name. But it's teriasestoa.com. So there they can find more about my stuff, my classes and my sessions and what I'm up to. And yeah, what else is possible in the world, and what can we all create if we started to look more to the animals and to nature and to create with all the beings that are here to contribute?
That is great. I will make people in the replay of this show, because this is just magic, you know, beyond. I am so grateful for you expanding my world with this conversation, and you know.
Thank you.
It's possible.
Yes, I wonder. Thank you, Shirlyn. I love being on and chatting with you.
I hope to chat with you soon. Again.
Yeah, I hope. Yes. Yes, let's do it again. It was fun. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for listening and for joining us on the show. And the next show, I'll be back in Johannesburg doing something different. How does it get any better? All right, everyone. Bye, Teresa. I'm saying Teresa. So what's the correct pronunciation? Let me get that.
Oh, sorry?
The correct pronunciation of your name. I was making it very English.
I know. It's like a horrible English name. Teresa Sua.
Okay, there we go. Okay, keep well.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitations? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.